The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes. Here's your host, Derek Taylor.
4:05 on a Friday. It's the Sports Cage brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. 46 hours away. Zinger is not taking off his Packers wind furry whatever hat. I don't even know what we refer to those as. I have one. I love them. But Zinger is so ready for the Packers game. 2:05 kickoff on Sunday. Oh, baby, Zinger.
I haven't slept in days.
And you won't sleep for two more. Sunday, sleep of the baby. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Roll the Buccaneers. Couple weeks of, well, then you won't sleep for 2 weeks because you'd be like, oh, Super Bowl's right around the corner.
You know, I was thinking that last night. I was thinking if we end up winning this football game, just the nervous wreck I'm going to be for 2 weeks, especially if we're playing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's going to be like, oh, my God, what's our defense going to do? Oh, my God. You know, just asking myself these questions at night when I'm laying on my pillow. It's just...
Just admit to yourself you're going to get whacked in the Super Bowl if it's Mahomes, and then you'll be fine. Just come around to these realizations that I have, Zinger.
You just remember who are the MVPs at.
Packers will mash the Buccaneers and then lose the Super Bowl. It's fine. It's just, you just come to that. Or you know what? Just dump all affiliations whatsoever.
As soon as I think you're on board with me, you hop back off and you crush me.
I'm all about realistic. I'm all about the real info.
How about Packers versus Bills? Packers win against those young Bills?
Packers would have to be the favorite in that game. Packers would be...
Yeah, butter me up
two,
if you like
two,
that.
2.5-point favorite against the Bills?
Yeah.
I would think because Aaron Rodgers won't make the mistakes that Josh Allen will. Ooh. Yeah, that would be... Oh, man. Just about any of these games... Take the Buccaneers out of it. Packers versus anybody would be a great Super Bowl.
Buccaneers versus Bills would be trash.
Like, trash. Imagine trash.
If you told me that like 5 years ago. Yeah, in 5 years, the Bills are going to play the Bucs in the Super Bowl. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, absolutely not. We have a ton of stuff to talk about today on the Sports Cage. At 4:30, we will live draw the winner in this week's Chase the Ace. The grand prize, over $500,000.
Today's the day I feel it in my bones.
I love it. The weekly jackpot, the highest it's ever been, trending toward a sellout. They'll probably sell out in the next couple of weeks based on how you're scooping up tickets. So 4:30, we'll draw it live. We'll talk to the winner live on the air. They'll get a chance to draw their card, and if it's the Ace of Spades, that person is going to have more than $500,000 to play with. That is very exciting about that. We're going to talk, of course, about the Riders. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll go deep on the playoff matchups coming on Sunday. We'll talk about UFC 257 on Saturday. Ooh. There is a hilarious story from UFC 257. One of the fights is now off. It was a highly anticipated fight, but it is off because... people can't stop trying to let people into their COVID-free hotels.
Oh,
it's a great, but this one is even, this one, remember the Seahawks guy who tried to sneak a lady into his room covered in like Seahawks workout gear?
Yep.
This one is better than that.
I'm looking forward to this.
We'll discuss that. How terrible is the Houston Texans job? Well, it's indicated by one of the people who is apparently a front runner for the job. We'll talk about absolutely brutal referees in the NBA. We're going all over the place. Pat's news as well. We say farewell to Hank Aaron, who passed away at the age of 86, an incredible figure.
True home run king.
Absolutely. And to do it under the circumstances he had to do it back in 1974, incredible. Plus, huge, enormous, gigantic news about Sports Cage on Monday. Very excited about that. Luke Mullender at 5:05. Moises Canales will take the ride with us after 5 o'clock. First up, let's discuss the Riders. Hands up if you remember Joe Flacco.
Oh, I remember that, dude.
We have two hands up currently. Joe Flacco, of course, everybody remembers his
Delaware
incredible performance at Delaware, right? That was where we all first. Oh, right. We never had anything. But first-round pick, Ravens. Boom, lengthy NFL career. The Riders have signed his brother, Tom Flacco. to a contract. Tom is also a quarterback. He is 26 years old and pretty darn good athlete as well. Played baseball at Towson College as well as football. Man, I can barely watch two sports, much less Jeez. Play two sports.
How about this quarterback room now? It's I don't think there's another chair left in that room right now, DT. It's full. It's packed to the rafters.
Yeah. Six deep with quarterback. Well, I mean, here's the thing. They packed up the quarterback room for training camp in 2019.
That's true.
And all of a sudden, here was a guy out of the Colorado School of Mimes in a shrinking box or opening a window. And it turns out Isaac Harker's really good at football. Isaac Harker in, David Watford out. Harker became the backup after game number one. And shows exactly why you load up on names.
And that's the exciting part, too, going into training camp, thinking, like, which of these young guys is going to come off the map and be like, oh, this guy's good quarterback. You know, if Isaac Harker could do it, maybe Tommy Flacco can do it, then maybe Joe can come up to a game when things get back to normal. Be like, hey, Joe, welcome to Regina. You can stay in my basement if you want.
Exactly. That game you played for the Jets, that was atrocious. That was just awful. But you never know, right? Yeah. You would think, you know what, the quarterback situation is probably pretty resolved for the Riders. Fajardo won, some combination of Franklin Harker, one of those two is number two. What is Jason Moss like? We'll see. And the other one between Franklin and Harker would be number three. But you never know.
Got Tommy Flacco, Mason Fine waiting in the wings.
Justice Hansen as well.
I always forget about him, but there's another one. Yeah.
Well, he signed right in the season that never happened. Yeah. So there's six quarterbacks now. And you know what? Take a shot. If it costs you $0 before they get to training camp, just take a shot. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they look at and evaluate six guys all in training camp, but they are professionals at what they do, so they get it done. And they found Isaac Harker in 2019, so why not? Tom Flacco, welcome to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Riders also signing tackle Andrew Lauderdale. He spent the last two NFL seasons on practice rosters after he went undrafted in 2017. 6'6", 291 pounds. I don't know if he'll be good at the CFL. I just do know I'm not sitting next to him on a plane because I'm not getting much room.
That's a nice tackle frame, though. 6'6", 291. That's a good frame for a tackle for sure.
Yeah, you feel like 6'6 comes with the long arms that they crave as well. So Andrew Lauderdale, welcome to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Have you ever had to fly in a plane next to someone who was just a large human?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't pleasant.
Yeah. So like on the Riders flights, right, they put like two guys in three seats because it would just be cruel and inhumane.
Did you sit beside Micah Johnson? Just get it out of the way. That'd be hilarious.
Micah loves me.
Yeah. Because he's a mountain of a man. Like, imagine sit beside him. Like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But at least in three seats, right? The Micah could have two and I could fit in one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But back when you're covering college football, there's not a real budget for U Sports football like there is for CFL football. So they would put three rookie offensive linemen together in a span of three seats. You're like, these guys are 6'5", 280 to 320, 6'6", 6'4". Oh, and by the way, you're not in the bulkhead. You're back in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how they did it or how they got out there and played a game on like the flight to UBC. I don't know how they did it, but bless their hearts. Yeah. Yikes.
And those are like those planes we're talking like – for those of you who have been on a plane, we're talking about Zinger.
This is 1957. What are we doing here?
Like, for real though, I have a friend. He's flown like once in his life. When he told me that, I was like, "What's wrong with you, dude? Like, you've never been to like Winnipeg and back or whatever?" But those planes, like, I even struggle on those things, and I'm like pretty.
Wait, 6'1", 6'2"? What are you?
I'm 6'2".
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay,
but like, I can't, at least I'm bendable, you know, I'm bendable. Those big guys, they can't be putting their knees up to their chest like I can, right? So.
Yeah, because, just.
Would be a funny sight to see, though, but.
Jam-packed. Oh, it's just jam-packed. So, yeah. Welcome to the team, Andrew Lauderdale and Tom Flacco. Like we said, we've been talking about it this week. Every signing, every re-signing, every new contract.
Gets your antennas pointing up just like, oh, CFL's coming.
Exactly.
Am I right or am I right?
Is it Andrew Lauderdale? How will he do? Andrew Lauderdale, Cameron Jefferson. I just want to take a look. I want to see them both up close and in person. I want to see them hitting the bag against each other. I want to see them in drills. I just want to see football. I want to see Coach Steven Sorrells just yelling at them, yelling out instructions about what happens if the guy's chin is up or his head is down. I want that back in my life.
I love doing the little Google search whenever I see the Riders release you know, what players they've signed and stuff. I always go to the Google engine and be like, okay, let me type in Andrew Lauderdale here. And then I spend like a good 15 minutes just like researching like facts that I'll never probably ever use in my life. But I just like it because he's a Rider now, right? So you just want to know like everything about the guy that you can. But I know what you mean when you see signings, man.
Oh. So we'll put you in charge of the Did You Know segment for Rider games in 2021.
Oh, yes,
that what we're
please.
Okay, perfect.
I've already started a folder.
Did you know that Andrew Lauderdale,
he likes his macaroni and cheese with, no.
And he was a 200-meter swim champion at La Costa High School in Mesa Verde, California. Would be incredible. I like it. Keep that, let's just keep that in mind.
Keep it, and keep it.
Take off that hat.
We're 16 minutes in. He sees my. I still have my. For those of you that don't understand what I'm wearing right now, I'm wearing this nice Packers toque, but it's not just a toque. It's like a helmet toque. It has like the flaps with the strings.
Yeah.
And it's like has the stripe on top of the head like a helmet, and it's got the two logos on the side.
Yeah.
I got sweaty pancakes under my arms. I'm sweating. I still have my winter coat on.
Did you deodorant today? Because that was lacking yesterday.
Yeah, I wore my deodorant today. Yeah. I smelled like an outhouse yesterday. So I'm better. I'm in the game today. I'm ready. I'm ready for Chase the Ace. We're like 15 minutes away. I'm sweating. Oh, my God.
It's going to be so good. I love hats like that. I have one. It's got like regular stuffing, and then it's leather on top, and it's got fur earmuffs.
Yeah, so it's not as good as mine's. What you're
no,
saying?
No, not as good as yours, but like compared to a regular toque.
Yeah.
So amazingly warm.
You keeps the nice ears and looks cool.
Yeah, you feel like that Seinfeld episode where Costanza gets the fur hat and he's just walking around and
exactly.
in wintertime and in a shirt and this hat keeps all the heat in, like an oven in here. Yeah,
it's true.
Incredible. Oh, man. Yes. Brutal referees. We'll probably get some curling in here, some UFC. Oh, NHL. I'm curious how much hockey we're all watching outside of the Canadian division, or are we focused on, as Zinger puts up the big zero, that's how many minutes of non-Canadian NHL action I've seen as well. News from the Jets, the Oilers in action tonight, and on and on. So much to talk about. I don't know how we're going to squeeze it into 2.5 hours, but we will. 4:18. We'll go to break. We'll talk some NHL on the other side of the break. If you miss any of today's show, Sports Cage on Demand for our folk friends at the Canadian Brew House, the ultimate sports destination. When it comes to hype, they like to literally blow their own horn. Visit the Canadian Brew House today.
It's 4:19 with the afternoon rush. The Pats' exceptional player Connor Bedard will be skating with the Junior A team in Kelowna while he awaits the beginning of the WHL season. WHL says it plans to play a 24-game regular season. NHL Oilers in Toronto. No Austin Matthews for the Leafs. He's out with an upper body soreness injury, so we'll see how long that keeps him out. And Jets have placed Patrick Laine on injured reserve with an upper body problem. That means he's out at least 7 days. Jets host Ottawa tomorrow. And baseball's longtime home run king, Hank Aaron, has died at the age of 86. In 1974, Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record in the face of horrendous racism. He'll be remembered as a true gentleman and an all-time great in Major League Baseball. Afternoon Rush is for oddshark.net for sports odds. Find your edge at oddshark.net.
The Molson Coors text line is 306-936-6262. It is your direct line to Zinger and I here on the show. It's brought to you by Molson Ultra. 70 calories, 2 grams of carbs, available at all retailers. Please enjoy their product responsibly. Oh, the National Hockey League. Joe Thornton, we've been talking about him from the Maple Leafs. He is now on long-term injured reserve. He's out at least 4 weeks with a fractured rib. I don't know how someone let escape what exactly his upper body injury was, but that's...
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's the deal. We learn it's a fractured rib. And yes, Austin Matthews, upper body soreness, won't play tonight in the game against the Oilers. The Montreal Canadiens are the leader in the Canadian division on 8 points. The Leafs and Jets tied right in behind it. Zinger, we're going to do a little test here. And let me just preface this by saying I would fail this test.
Okay.
Who leads the Central Division in the National Hockey League right now? Don't look.
Central, I don't know, DT.
Tampa Bay Lightning. Who leads the East Division in the NHL?
The New York Rangers.
The Philadelphia Flyers. Okay. Who leads the West Division in the National Hockey League?
The San Jose Sharks do.
Las Vegas Golden Knights are 4-0, outscoring opponents 16-7 thus far. I have not spent even a second watching non-Canadian NHL this season.
I haven't even seen it on, man. Like, I turn on the TV, I scroll through the games. I don't see any of, like, it's, you know what I mean?
Last night, the night before, Sportsnet had a doubleheader, and it involved, hey, here's Arizona and whoever. I don't even know.
Oh, I missed that one?
Who was, exactly. Exactly. I don't know who was playing in the game. That's not a great sign. This Canadian thing where Canadian teams are playing other Canadian teams, okay, so far so good. But the fact that I'm just completely ignoring literally every other team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I know.
For anybody who's thought, oh, can they continue this Canadian division for the rest of time? Absolutely not. Because they would love you to know and be in love with these other teams, or at least give a rat's butt about these other teams.
I'm already sick of seeing these Canadian teams play against
Are
each
you
other.
Really?
Honestly, like, how many times have we played the Canucks so far? Maybe it's only once, but last night I was watching the game. It seems like, you know, is this like the fifth time now or what?
Yeah.
Like, still beat the heck out of them, which I liked, but. Besides the point, I don't like this division format. I know it's what needs to happen, but you know, to begin with, I'm not overly a huge hockey guy anyway, so
yeah.
It doesn't
you
really.
Love your Habs.
I love my Habs. If the Habs game is on, I'm gonna watch it. Don't worry, John, the Habs fan. I'm a Habs fan.
Are you saying that you are not up for Jets Senators 3 on Saturday,
dude? Like, you couldn't pay me $20 to sit and watch that full hockey game. I'm not even kidding. I'd rather build my Lego.
Yeah, it's rough. It's been fun so far. At least it's super early to say that, right? Teams have played 5 or 6 or 4 games. It's still
so boring,
super
DT.
Early, and
so
then
boring.
dudes are injured. Like, if you've been watching Jets hockey and you go, oh, so now 3 straight games without Patrick Laine? Sigh.
Need the fans back. You need the fans back, 100% capacity, and then
that's
maybe,
what's doing it for you.
I think that's definitely not helping the cause at all. I mean, I turn on the TV and it's just like ghosts in the crowd.
Oh,
and it's just it's like the worst for hockey. I feel like probably football too. But you know what I mean. It's just I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like the environment. A lot of people would say they don't really notice it, but I do. Maybe it's because you know I'm for the fans.
Yeah,
I'm for the fans. I like going to games. So
I was watching the Jets home opener. This was last week.
Oh,
and,
poor you.
Yeah. Well, I thought I better tune in to see what the Jets are all about. Cause we talked to Sarah Orleski. So I want to be up to date to Orleski about, and home opener. And here comes Stacey Natras out to sing the national anthem. And you're like, oh, okay, well that's nice. Nobody in the crowd, obviously singing the national anthem. You're like, are they piping in noise during the national anthem?
Because
she was singing and then there was murmur, 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 rumble, rumble in the background. You're like, why are you piping in noise for the national anthem? And then like half a beat behind when the crowd would do that annoying thing where they yell True North for their love of a private company.
I got so many bad feels right now.
the sound they were piping in, if I can get over my dismay at this whole thing, the sound they were piping in all of a sudden yells True North. So it was, here's Stacey Natras singing, piped in noise of mumble, mumble, rumble, get a hot dog, blah, 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 True North, like a half beat late. And you're like, really? I guess you're trying to keep it normal.
So what you're saying is this needs to stop ASAP because that sounds so cheesy. Oh, my God. Good thing I wasn't watching it because I would have turned it off before the game started anyways.
It was pretty rough. But the Jets are back in action tomorrow, taking on the Senators, Oil, and Leafs tonight. And, oh, Columbus Blue Jackets are a lot of fun right now. I do not know where they are in the standings, but
to be honest, I don't care about them anymore since they don't have Ryan Murray anymore. I used to cheer for them because of Ryan Murray, but I know they're making a little bit of headlines these days, aren't they?
They have John Tortorella telling us blatant fibs live in his press conferences. It's incredible. So they play last night, and Pierre-Luc Dubois has apparently asked for a trade. It's been known, Pierre LeBrun reported it last week, that Pierre Dubois asked for a trade. In last night's game, which they lost in overtime to Tampa, so they played 65 minutes of hockey, Dubois got 3 minutes and 55 seconds of ice time. He sat on the bench for all the second period, all of the third period, and all of overtime. I don't know what it's called where you come from, Zinger, but where I come from, that's called a benching. Like, you've been benched. Fair?
Bench warmer, maybe?
You've been benched. You've been benched. Tortorella was not having it. He was asked about shuffling the lines, and Dubois didn't play. And he said, quote, "You guys are really dissecting this sitting and benching. Slow down, boys. You'll know when I bench someone." Like, you blatantly did.
So when a guy sits there for a whole evening,
he sat there for 45 minutes of game time.
Could have had his supper on the bench, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, skip the dishes rolling in to bring him that pizza with pineapple that John Hamm loves so much. I don't understand. Like, Tortorella is combative at the best of times. But, well, what do you describe it as? Let's play semantics with the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yep. If he sits for 45 minutes, he's been benched. If you signed him in the offseason to 2 years and $10 million, $5 million, a decent salary in the National Hockey League.
Oh, yeah.
For a 22-year-old, he's been benched. Just say it. We know you're telling us porky pies.
Torts is going to be torts, though. You know, that's torts, baby.
Got to be torts. Got to be torts.
It's his persona. He's playing with the media a bit, I think.
Here. Yeah. This also from Tortorella's reporter commenting on his press conference. One of the biggest takeaways is, Torts said, Dubois didn't get benched last night for one player, one shift. It was because of erosion of his play over the first 5 games. He said it falls on the player. It's not at all about him having requested a trade. No.
Well, why would he play like a couple minutes in the game then if that was the case, if you're going off his prior game play? Come on, Torts.
Well,
wasn't born yesterday, Torts.
Yeah. He didn't. It was because of erosion of a play that he didn't play, but he wasn't benched. He just didn't play.
I
intentionally did not play him, and I adjusted the rest of the team to compensate for the fact that I didn't play him. Okay. But it's not a benching.
Okay, now I know. Now I know.
Sigh. For all the entertainment, he sometimes, Tortorella, brings the exhaustion with him as well. It is 4:29. We're giving away big bucks. Highest single week jackpot and maybe more than $500 million. Chase the ace for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation. We draw this week's winner next in the cage. One big number this day is 13. UFC fighter Otman Azaitar had 13 wins in mixed martial arts heading into tomorrow's card. He was to fight Matt Frivola on the undercard, a fight that had observers very excited. However, the 30-year-old Azaitar screwed things up pretty badly, violating COVID protocols, getting himself booted off the card, and dropped from the UFC entirely. And it was a daredevil incident that did it. We'll tell you the whole story before 5 o'clock on the cage. One big number is brought to you by Line-X Spray on Truck Bed Liners. Serious protection, killer looks. Visit Line-X at 1865 McCara Street or Google Regina Line-X. .432 on the Sports Cage. All the guests of the show appear on the Western Pizza Hotline. Don't feel like cooking tonight? No problem. Just order Western Pizza with contactless delivery available. $530,000, figure $22 per pizza. I'm going to do some math while Cindy Fuchs talks about the enormous jackpot we might give away today.
Yeah, a lot of pizzas.
A lot of pizzas. $27,462 in the weekly jackpot, the progressive jackpot, the grand prize up to more than $530,000. And we're getting very close to being sold out.
We are. Every week it gets closer and closer. So I'm pretty excited about that for sure.
Oh, we could be giving away 600 grand plus live on the air. All right, well, let's draw a winner. Let's not waste any time. Let's get a winner for this weekly jackpot with a chance to draw one of the 21 remaining cards in Chase the Ace for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation. The wheels are spinning. The tension is high.
We have a winner.
All right.
Travis McBain from Saskatoon.
Travis McBain from Saskatoon. Yes, we're very excited about that. We will make three efforts. Zinger's going to try calling Travis three times. If we get him on the phone, he'll be able to choose one of the 21 remaining cards. If not, I will choose for him. A lot of real estate available in the 40s. Nobody's even touched the 50s. We got a lot of these primetime numbers. Shaq Evans, Cody Fajardo went early. Charleston Hughes is gone. More and more excitement, Cindy.
Well, I know, yeah. And you know what? The number that there's a whole bunch of numbers that are the higher numbers.
Yeah.
Like, we got to give some love to those big guys, right?
I think so, right? The linebackers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen and stuff. Did you think we were going to get this far?
No. You know, when we dreamt this up in May, June, you know, when we were first locked down, we just said, how are we going to replace that money that we would normally get on a 50-50 when we didn't know whether we were going to play football or not? Because our amateur sport and amateur football really counts on it.
Yeah.
To function and to get kids playing. And, you know, sport, as you know, DT, is so important to kids' mental health. So we thought, well, let's give it a try. And, you know, here we are, how many months later, and the ace Cody Fajardo card is still hidden and still not pulled. Many, many cards have been pulled and lots of excitement. But we're getting, you know, we're at the point where we're really close to sellout. And we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, this is week 32 now.
That's right.
That you and I have been across the table from each other. So 21 cards remain. The person who wins, Travis, has a 1 in 21 chance of taking home, I mean, in total, almost $560,000.
Now, I'm not a gambler, but that's pretty good odds, right?
Yeah, that's almost 5%. I mean, almost 5%, right?
Right.
The lottery ticket I won a free play for today, I have like a 1 in, oh gosh, what is it? Not even 13 million, 30 something. I don't know. It's just 30 million. So, come on. I'm not winning that. 1 in 21? I would take those odds.
No kidding. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. You mentioned it goes to help minor football in all levels of football across our province. The Rams, we've heard from the Huskies, the Riot, the Valkyries.
Thunder, Hilltops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amateur football throughout for all kids, whether it's flag football or tackle football, or even Northern Saskatchewan has this fantastic football league. For kids in the far north that get to play football and get to be part of a team. So, yeah, there's a lot of need out there, and we're reaching a lot of kids to be able to actually enjoy this sport. And there's more things that come with the sport of football and playing for kids than just the game.
Yeah.
But if they get to actually, you know, play the game and learn a little bit about leadership and giving back to the community and having fun. And for many kids, you know, having fun is and being able to be together, well, right now is going to be really important. Really important.
Yeah, 100%. We just heard from the Regina High School Athletic Association today that they've had to push back all sports until at least Easter / the spring break. So kids, they don't get to play games against other kids. So there's value in practicing with your team and playing against your team. But I mean, I didn't go pro, but I remember all those games where we took on Chestermere or whatever other high school and we dominated them, or my helmet got turned around in the pocket and I couldn't see for a minute and I thought I was going to die. Those are memories you hold on to no matter how terrible or great you were at the sport, which is one of the real pluses of it.
Well, and then, you know, we've talked to Dan Clark quite a bit, and football is one of the sports. I mean, I love all sports, trust me, but football is a sport that any kid can play. Doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter your abilities. You can be taught, and you can actually, like, so every kid has an opportunity. And in our province, we're so lucky with Football Sask and our minor football leagues that it's really not expensive for kids to play. And one of the other organizations we support is Kidsport. So if kids can't afford to play, honestly, kids sport is there to help them. And we were talking to them this week, and they're really geared up to be able to help those kids in every sport, but also football.
We have made two calls, and we're getting voicemail from Travis McBain of Saskatoon. Zinger is making a third call. If we're unable to get Travis on the phone, I will draw for him, and hopefully I'll pull the big card that pulls and gets him $530,000. You mentioned funding for all sorts of football in our province. Any chance any of that can be squeezed to the Sports Cage Fantasy Football League? Any chance any?
Oh, good gosh.
Can I submit a request? Is there anything I can do on that front? Because Luke was really, I mean, none of us won it, but yeah. We could have given Perry a prize courtesy of the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation and Viterra. No? Anything?
Well, not really. But I might pay you to teach me about fantasy football, because if I don't get on that train,
you're off
of it, right?
Pick and pray.
That's it? Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. Perry, who won the league, did much more than pick and pray, but that was my strategy, was pick and pray. So we have gotten three voicemails from Travis McBain of Saskatoon. Is he ever going to be surprised when he learns he has won at least $27,462. So as the conditions of this, I will now pick the winner or the card for today. 2, 9, 10, 16, 18, 19, 20, 27, 30, 31, 32, 37, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 49, 50, 51. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with number 27.
Okay.
Keenan LaFrance, number 27. That is going to be the winner for Travis McBain. Cindy is going to pull envelope number 27. Make sure I say that correctly.
There's a lot of pressure on you, hey?
There really is. Cindy, just show it to the camera. That
oh,
people
yeah,
know.
For sure.
We've got an envelope number 27.
27.
There we go. Keenan LaFrance's number. If it contains the ace of spades, Travis McBain of Saskatoon will be very happy. It's the king of diamonds.
Oh, Travis.
I keep drawing high cards.
You tried.
Yeah. I'd be great for playing doubling down in blackjack with the cards I've been picking. Thank you, Zinger. Thank you for giving me sad trombone. Travis McBain, no sadness for you, my friend. $27,462. And you can still get in for next week's draw starting at 5 o'clock. Just because Travis won, just because we've had now 32 winners, all those folks can be back.
Yeah, and the big announcement today is next week's our last week. We will sell out next week. We're not
confirmed.
Absolutely confirmed. So our sellout is when I said we're really close, we are close. It will sell out next week. So at 5 o'clock, you can start getting your tickets. And as soon as they're sold out, they're sold out. There's no more left.
Wow.
The draw for the grand prize will happen next Friday.
We're giving away $600,000 minimum next Friday.
That's right, because $600,000 is sellout. Absolutely. You and I are going to have a lot of fun next Friday.
So what's going to happen? There are 20 cards left. Yeah. The person who comes up first, is drawn first, will win the weekly jackpot and have the first crack at the grand prize?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first person that we pull gets the weekly. So whatever that weekly is.
Well, it's going to be enormous if we sell out.
If we sell out. And then if they don't get the ace, we'll just keep drawing people's names. Now, they won't win a weekly prize,
right,
but they'll have a chance to win around $600,000 until it's actually pulled. And so we're going to keep going. We'll stay here as long as we have to until we actually get to give away that $600,000.
All right. Start hitting me up at Sports Cage with what number you want me to draw for you in case we can't get you on the phone. Because
we encourage everybody to listen because, obviously, you want to pick your own number.
Yeah.
Don't want to trust you.
Well, I'm like 0
Honestly,
for 3.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You haven't had great luck.
No luck so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week, 5 o'clock, tickets go back on sale. Where do I get them? How do I get them? How many can I buy? Give me all the details in case people have not participated before and they want in on $600,000.
Right. So 5 o'clock, like you said today, tickets go back on sale. You can go online, riderville.com, and tickets are 1 for 10. One ticket can win, too. 10 for 20 or 50 for 50. And if you had a subscription, you're automatically entered next week. So
Good. You've
got that. Your subscription usually gets entered in our draw on Saturday morning. So it'll be entered. So if you don't have a subscription or you want extra tickets, you got to go online.
Yeah.
And try your best of luck.
And if it's going to sell out, that doesn't mean it'll sell out with the final ticket sale next Friday at 4 o'clock. It could sell out then at any time.
Could sell out Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll let people know.
Yeah.
Like we will email people. You'll be on air all week on CKRM. We'll be talking about it. So, you know, we'll let people know how we're doing. It's going to be an exciting week. Like, okay, what else do we have to be excited about at the end of January?
Yeah.
And it's getting cold. So it's going to be Chase Yates for riders.
Yeah. And I've been judging for folks who want to kind of keep track themselves. I've been judging by the amount of the grand prize jackpot, right? Because if it sells out the tickets, that jackpot is $600,000 just by the math of it. So you go, oh, it's at 570. I should probably start 580. Oh my God, 590. Honey, get on the phone right now.
Yeah.
And get on the interwebs right now.
Yeah.
I'm old, so I said phone, obviously, there. But that is very exciting. Riderville.com for Chase the Ace. Sellout predicted for next Friday. So you and I are just going to be phoning a lot of people and making them very happy. I'm very excited about that.
Well, who thought we'd sell out? Like, we've had such great support. That's why we're selling out.
Yeah.
We never expected this, and we didn't expect to go this long either. So, thanks to Rider fans and this province for supporting this.
It's the Riders, it's Viterra, and it's football in our province, right? So we've had winners from literally all over the province so far. So it's been great. I can't wait to see what happens next week as we just draw in winners left and right. It's going to be fantastic. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
It is 4:44. We're back inside the cage on the other side of the break. Luke Mullender will join us at 5:05. This segment of the show brought to us by Nick Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
It's 4:45 with the sports ticker. Riders signed two players, 26-year-old quarterback Tom Flacco. He was the younger brother of NFL QB Joe Flacco and tackle Andrew Lauderdale. He's been on the practice roster of NFL teams for the past 2 years. Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes is out of concussion protocol. He'll be in the lineup when KC hosts Buffalo in Sunday's AFC Championship game. UFC 257. Man, I'm excited for this one. It goes tomorrow night in the United Arab Emirates. And the main event is Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier fighting for a second time. McGregor knocked out Poirier in the first round of their fight back in 2014. Sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
4:46. Congratulations to Travis McBean of Saskatoon, the winner of $27,462 in Chase the Ace. And just want to reiterate what Cindy said, because I misunderstood a little bit. So I just want to make sure that you all get it. There was a certain amount of tickets they were allowed to sell by Saskatchewan Lotteries.
Right.
They project to get to that by next Friday. From 5 o'clock today to 4 p.m. next Friday, they project to sell out. But even if they don't sell it, if they come a hair short, it's still the final week of tickets. Because you don't want to go into the next week with $300 in tickets to be sold.
Right.
Right? And it's just a total crapshoot for people. So this is the last week upcoming of tickets being sold in the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation Chase the Ace. 5 o'clock today, Riderville.com. As she said, 1 for 10, 10 for 20, 50 for 50. Zinger, we need somebody we trust.
Man.
We can't win, but we need somebody we trust to help get in on this. We could give away $600,000 plus an enormous weekly jackpot next week, live here on The Cage.
So correct me if I'm wrong, DT, but next week you'll have a better chance at winning the grand jackpot, because once that first winner's drawn, they win the weekly prize, and then they just keep on drawing names after that. So
that's exactly
you're not out of the game if the first name gets drawn. You still have multiple chances to win that grand prize.
Yeah, the first name that's drawn will win the weekly prize.
Yeah.
Whatever the weekly prize is this week of $27,000. After that, no more weekly prizes to be given away. If that person draws the winner, game's over. If that person does not draw the winner and they have a 1 in 20 chance or 5% chance of doing it, that person takes it. That jackpot will then roll over. Next person, 19 cards remain. 18, 17, 16, however far it needs to go until we get a winner next Friday live here. Can you imagine if we get down to 1 in 5? Oh, now Janet joins us from Melville. 1 in 4 chance. Here's Barry in Swift Current. 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah.
1 in 2, and then whoever gets the 1 in 1, right? When it, every once in a while, you'll hear a story of some legion across the country running a Chase the Ace, and it's down to 2 cards.
Oh.
And then the person misses, and you're down to 1 card. So
that would be so heartbreaking.
Everybody in town, right? If you have a 50-50 and you don't get it,
oh my goodness,
would be incredible.
If you get that call and there's 2 cards left, I think I might pass out, because that's like a 50-50 chance at winning lifetime money. And
right.
And if you blow it, it's like, oh my God.
At least if it was like a poker tournament or a rock, paper, scissors competition, and you'd know who the other person is, you go, hey, whatever happened, let's just chop this money. Let's just agree to split it regardless. But yeah. No, it's 600 grand or nothing.
Oh, the drama's going to be huge.
It is going to be incredible. And that's going to be a lot of dialing for you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I got my thumbs ready. They're nice and tough for me building Legos lately, so I can dial those numbers nice and quickly without being sore.
Love it.
Yep.
Love it. So yes, Ryderville.com. Chase the Ace ends next Friday, so get your tickets starting 11 minutes from now. I promise you a story from UFC.
Oh, yes, please.
UFC 257, McGregor-Poirier is the headline card. McGregor says he's going to knock Poirier out in a minute, in under a minute. Poirier not buying it. They fought 6 years ago, more than 6 years ago. And McGregor knocked him out pretty quickly, but it was 6 years ago. What have they done since then? Well, since UFC 278, Poirier's fought 13 times, 10 wins, 2 losses, and a no decision. He lost to Michael Johnson and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Since UFC 178, McGregor's fought 8 times, 6-2, losing to Nate Diaz and Khabib. This is where it really stands out. Since January 1st, 2017, Zinger, where were you January 21st? January 1st, pardon me, 2017.
I would have been...
watching football, I suspect. Somewhere.
Oh, do you know where I was, DT? I'm not even kidding you.
No.
I remember where I was. I was at Packers at Lions at Ford Field.
There you go. Since Zinger went to Packers Lions at Ford Field, McGregor is 1-1 inside the octagon. Poirier is 6-1-1 in the octagon. Poirier has been way more active since then. So... For anyone to say, well, he beat him 6 years ago, means just nothing right now. McGregor's coming off a loss to Nurmagomedov and a win over Cowboy Cerrone. Very quick win. Poirier is rolling. The great story from UFC. The news today that they cut lightweight Otman Azaitar from their roster on Friday. You asked me, who is Otman Azaitar? Before an hour ago, I had zero idea. He's not a huge name in UFC. But he'd fought twice, and he was 13-0 as a mixed martial arts fighter. So there's going to be some hype around him. Oh, look at this guy, 30. He's crushing dudes. Okay, well, he's going to be at 257, and we'll see what this is all about. Because when McGregor's on the card, it's a big card. Well, they cut him from the roster today, a day before he was to fight at UFC 257, for violating health and safety protocols. We've heard stories like this before, right? The Seattle guy who tried to sneak a girl into the hotel.
Wearing helmets and whatever she was wearing. Yep.
Yeah, didn't work real well for him, and he was an undrafted rookie, so he was cut. Well, this one is even worse. Dana White tells the story, and it's pretty good. A person entered the hotel wearing, they have to wear wristbands to get into the fighter hotel, right? COVID protocols, they want to be very careful. Azaitar and his team took their wristbands and cut them off, and they gave one to this person. This person then taped the wristband together so they can get into the hotel. Wasn't going real well, so as Dana White describes it, this person, carrying a bag, shimmied across 4 balconies to get to Azaitar's balcony to get into his room. Put the bag down, changed his clothes, and tried to walk out the front door. Just shimmying across balconies, however high up. I'm just so important I get into the room that I'm going to risk life and death. All right, that sounds good. So, obviously, Azaitar and his team had a real hand in this. No idea who the person was. Guy, gal, friend, compatriot, companion, whatever. But invited in somebody and schemed to let in somebody despite stringent COVID protocols. You might know by January 2021 that COVID is a big deal.
It is indeed.
It's a big deal to everybody, especially people who want to sell a million pay-per-view buys and make $100 million off of it, including merchandise and everything else. So Dana White tells the story of his cat shimmying across four balconies to get into a Zaitar's room.
It's like Spider-Man, man.
So very dumb.
Spider-Man 4 with, instead of Tobey Maguire, we got UFC edition.
Yeah. So a Zaitar, who was 13-0 and looking forward to showing himself on a huge stage, now just got a all-expenses-paid trip to the United Arab Emirates and gets sent home. And, oh, by the way, you can't fight for the biggest fighting organization anymore. Duh. Oh, just man. Duh. I don't get it.
You left me speechless with that little story.
I don't understand. Like, between him, between the Seahawks guy, between Lou Williams going to an Orlando strip club because the chicken wings were really good.
Mm. Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne.
I still can't believe. Yeah, Dwayne. Like, apparently the Steelers liked that little episode. But anyways, I know I know you like that deal, but.
Hey, for zero money, bring in a quarterback. But yeah, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
You're hanging on by a thread in Washington. Yeah. What are you doing? Stop goofing around. Stop fiddling around the edges. Don't push the envelope. Give me any metaphor you want. Stop doing it.
Man.
Stop doing it. You're putting your career at risk. And here's another one.
When you were telling that story, yikes. DT, I got a phone call from our winner from today.
Oh, no.
We were a few minutes. He was a few minutes late getting to his phone. So Travis McBain called me. And I guess Zinger was the fortunate one to break him the news that he won $27,462.
How did he like that news?
I think he might have fell on the floor. I heard a thud.
What was the conversation? Like, he saw the number? What did he say?
I answered the phone and he goes, "Hi, this is Travis calling." And I go, "Hi there, Travis." "Hi, Travis. This is blah blah and blah from 620 CKRM, and we have some pretty good news for you." And I said, and then he was like, "Oh, did I win the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation Chase the Ace?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "You better believe it, baby." And I didn't tell him apart how you chose the card or anything. I think he was just fine with winning $27,462. He said he was buying tickets every single week for this thing.
Good for him.
Since it started. And he actually told himself, and he started telling his friends this week, how he was actually going to, this was going to be the week that he was going to win. That's what he told me on the phone. He said, "You know what? No, this is going to be the week." And sure enough, baby, he called back and I told him, and he was like, "Yeah," deep down, he was like, "I already knew it." It's like this guy had an epiphany on like Wednesday evening when he was laying on his pillow. He was like, "I'm going to win this week." And he added, "Oh, I'm getting all fired up on this, DT." But yeah, Travis McBain, congratulations, my friend. He gave me a call from up there in Saskatoon. Can I say I'm jealous? I'm a little jealous. Do you think you can maybe slip me a Benjamin or two? I know that's not Benjamin's. Who's on the 100? Borden? Who's the guy on the 100 bill in Canada?
I've not had a $100 bill in a long time. So
Grant or something.
Yeah.
Regardless, congratulations.
I do enjoy how I picked 27 as Keen LaFrance's number, but his rider number is 29. I was focused on previous numbers that he had. And plus, it's been so long since we played football that I kind of forgot.
Robert Mims was number 27 for the Riders in the 90s. Man, he was a good running back. Glenn Suter,
as a texter reminds us, Suits was 27. But Keen LaFrance, Keen is the guy.
Yeah.
Keen is the man.
Yeah.
Even though it's 29 was already taken. I had to go back, dial back a little bit in his career and pick number 27. Just some of the things that leak out of your brain on a Friday on the Sports Cage. It is 4:58. Ryan McNally with the news next. On the other side, Luke Mullender slides in to talk some ball. Moises Canales will join us as well inside the cage. If you want to reach out to us on the old Twitter box, we would love it. We are at Sports Cage. And the Twitter feed is brought to you by Bodog.net. Check out the largest selection of odds and props at Bodog.net. Make a play. It's 5:06, Sports Cage on a Friday, brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Luke Mulliner with us. Of all the things, I try to think of the number of words that you said in broadcast with me in the year 2019. Had to be hundreds of thousands. But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, pregnant pause, not going to happen, is absolutely number one.
Well, you know, I mean, in the industry, you either win or you learn, right, boys? And I think that, man, you can't, you get fooled. The other way that saying goes, DT, is fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's on me. So, yeah. I can't be accountable for that, so it's not going
to
happen.
Because for the rest of my life, I will just be able to picture you in the booth saying, not going to happen. Your head kind of shakes left and then right, and just you just get it from the throat. Tremendous. Tremendous. Yes, Luke Mulliner with us.
That's funny.
5 o'clock on Mondays and Fridays here on the Sports Cage. Did you buy your ticket for Chase the Ace this week?
Yeah, and why didn't I get a call? Because I was looking at my phone.
We're saving it for next week. Next week, the final week of Chase the Ace, regardless of what happens. They're trending towards sellout, so they've said next week is the final week. So, dude, you got to get your tickets, because if Zinger called you, it would be pretty good.
So what happens if the final week nobody pulls the ace?
Well, eventually someone will, because we're going to keep drawing names until someone pulls the ace of spades. Yes.
But next week is the final time they're selling tickets.
Well, we're going to keep drawing names next Friday until we get a winner. We will have a winner next Friday here on the cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it better be me.
Time to get in there. Time to
Otherwise,
get in there.
Otherwise, I'm asking for a charity receipt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, it's great, man. You know what? Honestly, the Ryder Foundation, man, it's, you know, for somebody who's always talking about growing grassroots football and giving back to football and especially the community, you know, I've been really privileged to be involved in the community. I think that, you know, the more we can continue to build into the future and the young people of this province, the better off we're going to be. So it's been a good run.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And it will conclude next Friday, 4:30. We're going to start drawing winners here on the Sports Cage. Sunday, we'll get a couple of winners in the National Football League. Moises, how much have you been into NFL football so far?
It's been very interesting so far, considering that we had, you know, Buffalo and Cleveland making the playoffs on the AFC side. It's been one heck of a ride, though, and we've gotten down to the last couple weeks here, and I'm really looking forward to these next couple games here. And especially one in particular, because I can see over in the other studio, Zinger decked out in all that Packers gear. He's getting me excited. I'm not even a Packers fan.
You hadn't seen that until you came into the studio here at 5 o'clock.
No, he is looking sharp.
What part are you the most jealous of? Is it the jacket? Is it the underoos? Is it the hat in which the flap just fell down?
I think it's got to be the hat, because that thing is just active.
That is active. Well, why don't we start in the NFC? Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Luke, of any of the four teams remaining, are you surprised at any of them that are in there? Did you think New Orleans was going to win last week? Where are you on any of the four left in this little tournament?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not that surprised that that Tampa Bay and Green Bay are there. And just because I think that the NFC has been such a gong show that everybody just sort of looked at the Packers and were like, well, they're going to be there just by default. I think that the element of surprise would be how well Tampa played, but more importantly, how poorly New Orleans played when it came down to execution, right? And it's unfortunate that, again, you know, Drew Brees has had an amazing Hall of Fame career, right? And I think that the crappy part of the loss to Tampa Bay last week for Drew Brees is that's how he went out, right? Like, you don't have to go out as a Super Bowl champ, but he went out. Like, and I know a bunch of over-emotional middle-aged men, and I know a bunch of them that are fans of the New Orleans Saints. And I've seen these guys put Drew Brees on a pedestal that's bigger than the Hill Towers downtown Regina, right? And to see how mad they were at Drew Brees, to see them go, these grown middle-aged men go on Facebook and Instagram and get emotional and swear at the man and call him all kinds of names, and forget literally how long was his career, 20 something years or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care how long his career was, to forget his entire career. And I really feel like that's how he's going to be remembered, right? I've seen a lot of people saying, God, it all started when he made that stupid remark about the president, about, right? Like, and about Neil. Like, I feel like it's just a shame that a legacy is tarnished to the point where even the biggest fans, these middle-aged men, are now going to equate his greatness and his legacy to four turnovers to Tampa Bay in 2021.
Well, and it was always... this game was always coming for me all season long. From game one, right, my overreaction after game one was that Drew Brees was absolutely cooked, because you looked at that and went, this guy is not able to throw the ball far down the field. He's not able to get this ball into small windows. And fully a testament to him, that to his quarterbacking skill, sans arm strength, that he could get this team to 12 wins and two rounds into the playoffs. But it was, to me, it was always going to come undone. And yeah, three interceptions, and he went out.
Three picks, man.
Yeah, 15 years in New Orleans. 15 seasons, 15 a Super
years.
Bowl.
And it's all.
All-time leading passer.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're never going to see me speak ill of Troy Aikman. I never will. Even when Troy Aikman had a bad game, you would never see me speak ill of Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Right? And to see these grown men just turn on Drew Brees at a drop of a dime, it was just sad.
Yeah.
It was pathetic, really. I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward now to the Packers and Buccaneers. I think that you've got the way I look at this, guys, is that each sort of team is good at the other team's sort of weakness, right?
Okay.
So, you know, strength, right? Like Green Bay, first of all, Tampa Bay gets their stud defensive tackle back, right? They've been waiting on him.
Is Vita Vea back in this game? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Vita Vea's back, and they can stop the run. And right, and Green Bay, hey, that's a team that really likes to make plays on the ground too, as much as they take to the air, right? Like there's little nuances here that make this game really interesting. But I still think, and I'm not saying this just because Zinger's in there, you know, wearing all this stupid cheesehead stuff, I do think Green Bay is going to come out on top.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that. I mean, you talked about Drew Brees earlier there, Luke, but I mean, now we got to also talk about the big matchup. We've got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Could this ever happen again after this weekend?
Oh, that's and
is there,
you know,
senior flag football for
point.
These guys? I don't know.
Yeah, is there a Masters division? Well, that's the thing, right? Like you bring up a great point, Moises. If you look at this playoff, this Sunday is about the past and the present.
Yes.
You look at Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, two Hall of Famers, two guys that you're going to throw into the GOAT conversation, and you're looking at the future of the league in Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like that's really cool. Like, if there's a lot of storylines to be spun, that should be the storyline. Is literally you're looking at past and present. And I'm sure Mahomes and Josh Allen are going to be back here, but you can't say the same for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, especially Tom Brady, right? I feel like I equate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they didn't dominate like this team, but I equate them to the 2013 Riders. And the reason I say that is because when they got Tom, they sold out. They literally went and tried to get every single weapon they could when they knew they had a quarterback that was going to be responsible with the football and could still spin it a little bit, right? They sold out. And that's what the Riders did, right? And I think Chamberlain and BT are going to go down in history as guys that in 2013, when the home game was, the Grey Cup was at home, BT made all the right moves to just get the team there. Right. So I feel like that's the team that's looking at the Green Bay Packers. I think the Packers got a good chance to be back. I'm pretty sure that Aaron Jones is a free agent in this season, but in the offseason. But I look at them as a team that's going to be able to be rebuilt. I am worried, though, that they don't have Bakhtiari, because that defensive line with Vita Vea and the Buccaneers, that's a monster now. And remember, this is a team. I think the last meeting between these two teams, it was 38-10 for the Bucs. I know Zinger doesn't want to hear that, but I'm pretty sure that was the case.
38 unanswered points in that game. That was back in week number 6. So I'm curious.
Yeah, that was really weird, DT. I don't remember Zinger walking in there with all his cheesehead gear after that game either.
Hey, I think that game matters just as much as the Bucks losing to the Saints, whatever, 38-3 in week 11 or wherever that was.
Well, and that's where I want to go is how much does week 6 matter? Green Bay scored the first 10 points in that game. They were rolling and then just completely shut down. Tampa then said, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to blitz, and we're going to blitz you to death. Yeah. And they did. And at about 28-10, Aaron Rodgers was just disinterested in playing the rest of that game. How much of week 6 carries forward to this, and how much does Green Bay take from what absolutely confounded them to prepare for a game like this?
I'm drawing a blank. The defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay.
Go to Google.
Man, I'm so mad that I actually forgot this right now, because I was thinking about him earlier today when I knew I was coming on this show. Anyways, their defensive coordinator, you know, Todd Bowles. That's it. Sorry, Rider Nation, for that slip. So Todd Bowles, he also reminds me of another great Rider defensive coordinator in Richie Hall.
Okay.
Todd Bowles isn't a guy that's like, oh man, we got to do this. They're coming in and they're going to try this, so we should. Todd Bowles is like Richie Hall in that Richie Hall is like, it's not about them. It's about us, and it's about how we execute, and it's about our system, and this is what we're going to do. So I wouldn't be I think the Buccaneers come in here and use the same game plan they used when they dubbed the Packers the last time. Because if you were watching the New Orleans game, they weren't changing anything about what they were doing in New Orleans, and I don't think they're going to change anything that they do against Green Bay. I think that Todd Bowles is another Richie Hall type of guy who just says, like, guys, this is us. This is our identity. We need to rush the passer. We need to stop the run, and we need to get turnovers, right? And I don't care what they do. That's what I really think. I feel like as a player, those conversations with those defensive coordinators really motivating, right? Because you got the feel, like, you entered with a swagger because you understood. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers is about to do. I don't care all the adjustments. They could split out Aaron Jones wide all they want, right? They can use Robert Tonyan as a running back. Shoot, if they want to have Davante Adams throw the football at quarterback 35 times, let them. Because it's not about what they do. It's about how we execute, right? And I think that that's really cool mentality, and I think that that's how Todd Bowles approaches everything.
I like it. I like it. We will talk more about the NFL as we roll on. Some CFL news to drop on you next as we continue on with Luke Mullender. If you want to chime in, please do. We love having you on the text line at 306-936-6262. We're getting a little Riders love. We're getting a little number 27 love. It's all good. The text line brought to you by Molson Ultra, 70 calories, 2 grams of carbs, available at all retailers. Please enjoy their product responsibly. Hot CFL talk next in the cage.
Zinger with the afternoon rush. It's 5:21. The Pats' exceptional player Connor Bedard will be skating with the Junior A team in Kelowna while he awaits the beginning of the WHL season. WHL says it plans to play a 24-game regular season. NHL Oilers in Toronto. No Austin Matthews for the Leafs. He's out with an upper body soreness. I just said Toronto over Toronto. I apologize. Jets have placed Patrick Laine on injured reserve with an upper body problem. That means he's out at least 7 days. Jets host Ottawa tomorrow. And baseball's a longtime home run king. Hank Aaron has died at the age of 86. In 1974, Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record in face of horrendous racism. He'll be remembered as a true gentleman and an all-time great in Major League Baseball. Afternoon Rush for Oddshark.net for sports odds. Find your edge at Oddshark.net.
Zinger, let's take that to Moises Canales. Toronto or Toronto?
You got me stumped on that one. I don't know.
Because when you do the news, I would say 620 CKRM, but you very deliberately go 620. You really you hit the T in your 20. So I'm like, "Oh, would he be a Toronto then?"
I feel like I'm so used to enunciating that second T.
Yeah.
I think that's just the one I've got to go with, but if you're in speech with someone and you're just talking about Toronto or Toronto,
yeah.
I kind of think you forget about it unless you're really thinking about it, which in that case, I'm doing that with news.
Yeah, 620 CKRM News. Yeah, it's fantastic. Your pronunciation.
Should ask the local boy, Luke.
I was going to say, Luke, you're from the area. Have you ever, when was the last time you said Toronto?
I don't know, man. I think I go in between based on my mood, right? Like if I'm trying to make a point, like this wouldn't go down in Toronto like this, right? That's
yep.
But you know, if I'm just generally being like, oh man, I miss Jamaican food, man. I need to be in Toronto where my mom is. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
that's
yeah.
probably. So I think for me, it's back and forth.
Saskatchewan, like the in Slapshot from Saskatchewan, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. They really had in Calgary. Like it drives people bonkers. People in Toronto don't want it called Toronto. They want it called. They want the hard T. But then the Raptors guy does.
Well,
the
we
hard
just call
T.
it. We yeah. just call it. We just call it the capital of Canada. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
The T dot. The six.
The center of the universe.
It took me a long time to get. You know what? It took me an alarmingly long time, fellas. And for some people, it hasn't changed yet. But it took me an alarmingly long time to disarm people emotionally when they found out I was from the East Coast and grew up where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I could see literally when I would tell them, oh yeah, man, I'm from Mississauga, it's right next to Toronto, it's part of the GTA, you know, there would be that, oh man, this guy probably thinks he's the king of the world. You know
yes.
what I mean? I could see that, like, you know, like an electronic signboard scrolling through, right? Like I could see it in their eyes. And then, you know, so it took me years and years and years to try to actually warm up to people in Saskatchewan to try to get them to think that, hey, I'm not just this, you know, guy wearing I'm from the East Coast cape. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I like that you call it the East Coast, even though no, it's weird how we think of Toronto, right? It's the East Coast, but then you're like, well, there's still Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Labrador, PEI. All those people now want to fight you. And you're like, ah. Toronto can't win because it's a giant cesspool of shootings and garbage on the streets. But whatever, whatever, we move on. News for the Canadian Football League on this day. Braden Lenius, according to the CFL Transaction Wire, has redone his contract. And Luke, we saw coming 100 years ago, Sook Chung of the BC Lions has restructured his contract with the Lions as well.
Yeah.
To me, that was one that was holding them back. And good on them, good on Sook for committing to the team.
Well, here's the thing. Farhan, our man Farhan, he quickly found out how much of a cut Adam Big Hill took. I'm really interested to see if he's going to find out how much of a haircut Sook Chung took, because that wasn't a haircut with clippers. That was probably a haircut with a chainsaw.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but we see Braden Lenius on the list, and it's got me wondering, just from talking to folks and talking to folks here on the show, what the Riders are going to do with their receivers for the coming season. Jordan Williams-Lambert is back. He's back on a one-year deal. They've released Kenny Stafford. Shaq and Kyron Moore re-signed before that. And I look at that and go, oh, okay, well, if Kenny Stafford is out, a guy like Carlos Henderson has re-signed. They went four Americans the last time we had a season. Are they potentially going to three Americans and use that spot somewhere else? When you see who's out and who's in so far, what do you start to think, to lean to?
I'm really okay with – I was just a guy that was like, look, in my mind, the priority is a guy like Shaq Evans and Kyron Moore, right? And then the rest you just sort of slot in.
Okay.
I obviously, you know, we knew that Manny Arsenault wasn't going to be back in the green and white, right? I think that Jordan Williams-Lambert has a huge opportunity. But again, you did get the feeling that that he disappointed a little bit when he came back in 2019, right? You know, like they gave him that shot at Manny's position and he went in there and you and I were talking about the physical aspect of his game and how it needed to probably, you know, get a little bit more effective for the Riders and what they were asking him to do. So Jordan Williams-Lambert has a huge opportunity. It really depends where they put him.
Yes.
Braden Lenius, man, I tell you, there's another guy, you know, talk about the Hill Towers. That guy, man, he's a walking defensive end when you look at him, right? But then he's got the soft hands, and in training camp in 2019, you just saw all this potential, and we never got a glimpse of him. And I'm telling you, if if this kid can match the physical attributes to the football IQ, right? Like if he can catch on to what they're asking him to do, if he can come in there and make some plays when given the opportunity, he's a guy that you could really use in a number of spots, not just receiver, right? He could be that H-back, right? Of that H-back format, who like when we had Spencer Moore, right?
Yes.
You'd always see Spencer Moore in a king or queen set, which is sort of a tight end wing position. You know, he would go down the line of scrimmage and block the end man on the opposite side. That's the kind of role, you know, that Jordan Lambert, they gave him when he would come in motion and they'd ask him to block the end man on the line of scrimmage. And he didn't do that effectively or as well as Manny Arsenault. And I think that's why Manny got back into the lineup, right? But Lenius is going to have an opportunity to show that he can do some of that stuff. I'm not saying Jordan Lambert Williams won't, but Lenius has the advantage of being Canadian. So if he can come in here and really make, you know, open some eyes. And don't forget Jake Hardy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a kid we never even saw in the green and white, but we knew that when he was coming over from Ottawa when we got him, I think in 2018, that, hey, he had some potential too, right? So I really think that, hey, look, the Jeremy O'Day and the Riders, they took care of the absolute must-have, right? They went to the grocery store and they made sure they had bananas, bread, and milk. So they've got their quarterback, they've got Kyren Moore, and they've got Shaq Evans. Now what they're doing is they're rounding out their roster to see which guys they can build and they can throw in as resources to the three studs that they've got already. And obviously a running back's going to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, William Powell back in there. Seeing these signings, seeing these re-signings, seeing who's not in, it makes me think it just gives Jason Moss options with the offense. If you want to run... Yeah. Three Americans. He ran two Canadians at receiver with Edmonton last season. One at that field wide receiver spot and one at that number three position, the furthest one in on the wide side. If he wants to run two Canadians, okay, well, here's Braden Lenius and Justin McInnes inside out. Boom, there you go. Kyren Moore's on that wide side. Then Jordan Williams, Lambert, and Shaq on that boundary side. If he gets to go with four Americans, and who's going to make the decision will be a thing. Okay, well, now Jordan Williams, Lambert can be that third guy who the Corey Watson role where, like you mentioned, you're hammering guys, you're hitting in short routes, you're doing that thing that you did in 2018, and, you know, another American can come in there. Carlos Henderson can get a chance, whatever. Another guy who's speedster and yards after catch and can make tacklers miss, can really make some stuff happen. There was so much flexibility on the offensive line last year, and I feel like Jeremy O'Day has built flexibility within receivers for 2021.
Yeah, and you know what? It all comes down, and at the end of the day, man, it's going to come down to those Canadian receivers and where they can plug in, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what gives them the true flexibility, because then they don't have to worry about if a guy goes down. That's the main thing for general managers in the Canadian Football League, right? Like, you can have your ratio, but when guys go down, right, obviously, you know, having a Canadian that you can just plug in and play in certain spots is going to be, I mean, that's what kept me in the league for the first few years, right, is my ability to sort of play everywhere, right, and be that athletic kid that could go down, give some reps at nose, pass rush in our second down package from the nose spot, but also play defensive end. You know what I mean? Like, and the more you can get those Canadian receivers involved in that game and in that sort of mindset, the more flexibility you have.
Yeah, and that's where you start to go, oh, well, Braden Lenius. Okay, well, yeah. Albert Awachi is back as well. Oh, okay, well, Awachi.
And he really came on last year, right? Like, yeah. I thought Albert Awachi had a great year, right? He wasn't asked to do a ton, but I think that everything that he was asked to do, he did well. Right? Now, I wasn't surprised when we got Albert Awachi back. And he's a guy, remember, that's a former receiver as well, right? He's just been willing to take fullback reps, right? He's a guy that said, okay, this is my opportunity, I'm going to run with it. And now Braden Lenius is going to get that. He's going to get that in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Right? But again, you know, that's that whole conversation, DT. You and I have talked about this quite a bit, is I've seen some of the greatest athletes ever go through the halls of a locker room for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I've been like, wow, this guy is a specimen. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this kid's 6'6", 270, runs a 4.4? Oh, I'm cut, right? And if you can't catch on to the playbook or you're not willing to be coachable, it doesn't matter how good you look, Doesn't matter what your attributes are, the coaches can't use you. And that's especially the case in the Canadian Football League because of that ratio.
Yeah, absolutely. For more on Luke checking out dudes in the locker room, you can hit him up on Twitter.
Sorry about that. It got a little bit awkward, you know, but I was actually asking myself where I was going with that at one point, but
All right. He runs a 4-4. All right, Luke, before I let you go, Kansas City, Buffalo, who you got on Sunday?
Ooh. Man, I'm going Buffalo.
Going Buffalo with Patrick Mahomes out of concussion protocol.
I'm going Buffalo.
Green Bay, Tampa Bay, who you got?
Green Bay. I'm going Buffalo, Green Bay in the Super Bowl, and I'm going Buffalo. I'm sold on the Bills, man. That's the benefit
Buffalo.
Of being a Dallas Cowboys fan. You can start enjoying other teams, and I really enjoyed watching Buffalo this year.
They were a lot of fun. That is bold. Moises and I will continue to discuss that on the other side of the break. Luke, have a great weekend, brother. We'll talk to you on Monday. Bye, Luke.
Yeah, you guys too, man. Talk soon.
Luke Mullender, at LukeMull95, joins us every Monday and Friday on the Sports Cage. All the guests of the show are on the Western Pizza Hotline. Don't feel like cooking tonight? No problem. Just order Western Pizza with contactless delivery available. 5:34, we'll dive into the NFL championship round next on the Cage. Five 36 on the Sports Cage. It's Monday, 5:30. Suits will be back with us to talk about his chat with the commissioner. He'll also have some memories of Warren Woods, a guy who was broadcasting when Suits was a player, of course, with the Riders. Suits back with us, 5:30. Super excited about that on Monday. Zigger mentioned this earlier, and Moises, before you got here, how terrible the Houston Texans job will be was spelled out today in the news. The Houston Texans have one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, four best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Let's just say top five.
Top five, and they won four games.
Yeah,
that team has no talent and no draft picks. So why would you want to coach it? The Houston Texans today have interviewed Josh McCown to be their head coach. And if you say, wait a minute, isn't Josh McCown a quarterback in the NFL? He played for Philadelphia last year. And they're interviewing him to be the head coach, presumably because they absolutely can't get anybody to talk to them about taking that job with that terrible record, their lack of talent, their lack of draft picks, that story, that cover story of Sports Illustrated about how they let the one-time chaplain kind of run the place. Just a disaster. A guy who's been out of the league for 8 minutes is being interviewed for the head coach.
It makes you think, with the Browns doing so well this year, finally, after all these years, could the Texans be the next laughingstock of the NFL?
If they trade Deshaun Watson, which they absolutely should trade Deshaun Watson.
He should get out of there.
He should absolutely force his way out of there. He should, more so than they want to get rid of him, he should want to get the hell out of there. They should. They will be. Because you can't make ridiculous moves and prosper. Hey, Moises, I see you have a $100 bill in your wallet. I'll trade you 3 fives for it. Oh, I get 3 for 1? Cool. Oh, wait, you're going to end up broke. That was the Houston Texans under Bill O'Brien. It was just atrocious, and they're pooched for many years, and their asset is they have an incredible quarterback, but why would you want to play? Why would Deshaun Watson want to throw passes to the three of us?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Well, I would block for him and get turnstiled. Zinger would, you know, you're not a 4-4 anymore.
Oh, man. Oh, I have pretty good hands, though. I got some good mitts on me.
Moises, I assume your yards after contact out of the backfield are less than they would have been when you were younger. It's just, why would Deshaun want anything to do with that?
Yeah.
Just can't, it can't happen. It can't happen. Let's go back through the NFL games and let's dive into them, because we're all football fans here, and will you be watching? Will you be riveted? Where will you be Sunday?
I will be. I'll be watching those games, and I'm really interested in, like what Luke said, there's so many different angles that you can take these games from.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. You got old quarterbacks on one side, but then on the other side, you got these young superstar quarterbacks that still have so much roof to reach. So, I mean, it's for an NFL fan, even if you're not a fan of one of these teams, I feel like you got to watch, you got to tune in for this one.
Yeah, the only way, I mean, I'm trying to think of any way there could be more hype around these final four quarterbacks. Like, maybe if Lamar was involved, there'd be a scooch more, but I don't know which of the four you would knock out to take that. Let's start with the 205 game. Zinger confirmed less than 48 hours till your pack attack.
I got a lump in my throat. Yep.
The Packers are a -3.5 points, so 3.5 point favorite over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was your impression of each of their performances last week, Moises?
Well, like Luke said earlier, I mean, with the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, that was an interesting game on its own. Too bad for Breeze. A lot of people were maybe thinking that this was the year that he kind of ends it off with one more Super Bowl. But Tampa Bay going into this one with a little bit of swagger just because they picked up that win.
Right.
And now they're going in against the Packers, who obviously I would say people are considering them to be the winners of this one. Like they're not going in as the underdogs by any means. So
yep.
It's a very interesting matchup, but is there snow in the forecast? I wanted to ask you this, Zinger. Is there snow in the forecast in Green Bay?
The snow's calling for Sunday morning right now, the last time I checked, so I don't think it's going to be snowing during the game, but they're expecting between 3 and 5 inches sometime Sunday before the game.
Just load change, up though. On the Packers -3.5 at that point. Just having watched that game, like the New Orleans game, we talked about Breeze throwing three picks, and they had the Jared Cook fumble. The first interception set up Tampa Bay at like the 3-yard line. Brady throws a touchdown pass. The second interception sets them up in New Orleans territory. Brady throws a touchdown pass. I watched that game and, hey, 30 points, good on you. I was not the least bit impressed with Tampa in that game. To me, like, I've been thinking Tampa Bay by week 17 was going to be this juggernaut. Look at all these receivers. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Their offensive line will be healthy. Brady will finally be up to speed with Bruce Arians. And they were not. I was in no way impressed to the point where I thought they're just going to get drilled. Because Zinger, Green Bay, I mean, oh, the Rams defense is amazing. No, it was not particularly a problem for Aaron Rodgers last week.
Yeah, going into the game, everyone was talking about how they had the number one ranked defense, but didn't really matter because A-Rod is on the other side of the ball. And now this week, all the talk is now how the Buccaneers beat up on the Packers in like week 6 this year. And man, that game don't mean a thing.
Well, 13 weeks ago, what are we, 17, 18, 19, this is week 20?
And
yeah, 14 weeks ago, means nothing.
No one was talking about how, I guess some people were talking about how the Buccaneers fell to the Saints in the regular season, like 38-3. That didn't seem to matter.
Lost to them twice. Yep.
That didn't seem to matter last week when they beat them. So.
Oh, no, and I take very little from that. And just seeing the way that game played out, right, in week 6, if you want to go back to, well, that means something, well, Green Bay was there. Green Bay knows what happened in that game. They blitzed the tarnish off of Aaron Rodgers.
There's really
you don't think he's ready for that this time? Robert Tonyan out of the backfield, Davante Adams on a little one, boop, boop, boop. He's gonna crush that if it shows up. So Tampa has to figure something else out, and Green Bay will have to try to adapt to it. Moises playing better right now. Aaron Rodgers, Timmy Brady.
Aaron Rodgers.
You'd rather have Aaron?
I think going into this one, listen, you're in Lambeau Field. There's snow happening. This is a perfect game for a Green Bay Packers fan. And as a member of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers looking sharp all season long. And like we've just talked about, Tampa Bay maybe not looking as strong as we thought they would be going into that game last week. I got to go with A-Rod on this one. Like, he's looking sharp. He is looking strong. And I think he's got his eyes set on that final.
No Antonio Brown for the Buccaneers as well. He didn't even make the flight to Green Bay, dealing with a knee injury. Luke mentioned Vita Vea being back for the Buccaneers. He's a giant defensive tackle who actually gets pressure from the interior, not anywhere near Aaron Donald level pressure, but some. So that bodes well for them. But Zinger, I honestly, this was the first wager I made. I went, oh, it's Green Bay -4. Click, boom, boom. Boom. Where are you in this game? Is it the Packers? And if it's the Packers, is it close or is it middling or is it like last week, a 14-point whack job?
You know, I think it's going to be a close game regardless. But I think the Packers are going to win the game. I mean, you look back at their previous meeting, it was really one bad quarter that kind of snowballed when Rodgers he threw a pick six and he threw another pick, and then from there was, you know, so. if the Packers don't turn over the football, and we don't turn over the football very often, I think the Packers go on to win by at least a couple scores. The Bucs need a couple turnovers to beat us at Lambeau.
So that was two we's and one us.
Yep.
For the Packers. I love it.
I'm a shareholder, man.
I love it. I'm a share. I paid $200 for a piece of paper that gets me no rights to anything.
Oh, I attend the virtual meetings now. Oh,
hey, and he buys all their memorabilia and all the clothing, all the hats. So you're putting a good dent in the Green Bay Packers fandom.
Thank you, Moises.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, if you've heard it on the show, but I want you to guess how many Packers bobblehead Zinger owns.
Okay, I think he had a picture or some sort of video on Facebook. This was a while ago, and I kind of got a quick glimpse into like the bobblehead setup.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guess there's 10. Is there 10 bobbleheads that you have? Am I not even close?
You're not close, Moses. You're out of this ballpark, man.
Zinger, how many Packers bobbleheads, specifically Packers ones, do you own?
All right, so altogether it's about 100 bobbleheads.
Yep.
And I think probably between 40 and 60 Packers. I'd have to do a head count when
God.
I get home.
How do you even? Do you have to get some of them personally made or something?
Oh, no, it's from all my trips at Lambeau. One time I drove home with the car loaded full of bobbleheads, man. It's crazy. The
Sterling Sharp, Brett Favre, Don Majkowski, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, Aaron Jones,
Randy
Aaron
Wright.
Burr.
No, they don't make Randy.
But Reggie White.
The Randy Wright, the old quarterback for the Packers in the 80s. I don't know why I got his jersey. The worst part of those bobbleheads is they get really dusty, so you got to polish their heads and make them nice and shiny.
Polishing his bobblehead at Zinger.
They talk to each other at night. I always say it. They talk to each other at night, just like the Canton busts.
So it was two we's, one us, and now two double entendres. So we were really crushing it so far.
Yes.
5:46. We're going to discuss Kansas City and Buffalo. We'll take the break right now, but we'll discuss Kansas City and Buffalo. Man, high-level quarterbacking could really be on display, or it could be a total disaster for one of them. We will talk about that as we roll on the Sports Cage. The Twitter feed, your direct line to the show, is at Sports Cage. I am at DT on SC. Zinger News at Moises Canales Jr. Is that the
Twitter
handle?
That's the one. Good job.
C-A-N-A-L-E-S-J-R.
That's Junior, baby.
Perfect. That's where you can hit us up. We would love to have you. The Twitter feed Sports Cage brought to you by Bodog.net. Check out the largest selection of odds and props at Bodog.net. Make a play.
It's 5:49 with the sports ticker. Riders signed two players today. 26-year-old quarterback Tom Flacco. He is the younger brother of NFL QB Joe Flacco and tackle Andrew Lauderdale. He's been on practice rosters in the NFL for the past 2 years. Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes is out of concussion protocol. He'll be in the lineup when KC hosts Buffalo in Sunday's AFC Championship game. UFC 257 goes tomorrow night in the United Arab Emirates. And the main event is Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier fighting for a second time. McGregor knocked out Poirier in the first round of their fight way back in 2014. The sports tickers for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
Oh, Zinger. Sports Center is again playing Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions coach from yesterday.
Kneecaps.
You're going to kick us in the teeth. We're going to drag ourselves up. We're going to bite you in the kneecap. You're going to kick us down again.
Dude, so fascinated in kneecaps. It blew my mind.
It was incredible. Like, 1965 has come to life.
That's like an RMF speech from like the 90s when I was playing football. That's like what the coaches would say. All right, you're going to beat them up. Get up when you get knocked down. That's pure RMF, baby.
It was absolutely RMF. 5:50, Kansas City and Buffalo is the late game on Sunday. The Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, but man, the leap that Josh Allen took from a bad year last year to he's going to finish third or second in the MVP voting this year is incredible. And Moises, just watching Buffalo and going, okay, you guys can do it with offense. And okay, your quarterback is playing amazingly, but let's not. Stephon Diggs is really transformed this team. And here's Cole Beasley. Here's John Brown. And you know what? We're not even going to run the ball, and we're still going to win you. Watching Buffalo from 3 years ago to today is it's an incredible job that they have done there transforming
yeah,
that team.
It's a yeah, like you put it perfectly. It's a great transformation. Bills Mafia just absolutely ecstatic. Did you see any of those videos before we get into this over the weekend when they got that win and there were fans up at the TVs trying to throw off the kicks and they ended up missing wide? That stuff is crazy. I think the spirit of Bills Mafia, plus like you said, they've got great receivers, Josh Allen. Looking like he could, if there was no Patrick Mahomes, if there was no other quarterbacks that have been doing spectacular this year, like I think he is your MVP in some instances. Some people might be thinking of
short of Aaron Rodgers, like Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, and to me, Allen three.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're three wins better than what was a good season last year.
15. Yeah. Like they've just been incredible this year. One more loss than the Chiefs altogether. But
yeah,
I think when you look at their records, pretty even, so I can see why people are kind of split on this. For some reason, we're actually talking about the Bills possibly making the Super Bowl for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
A long time. Yeah, it's very interesting, but Josh Allen, I can see why people are so drawn into them winning this game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, they are probably the most fun team to watch, right? Kansas City kind of regressed in the fun department because everything was 3 points. It wasn't this, you know, we're popping 38 in the first half and let's roll, right? All these games were close and we had to come back to beat Carolina and it was super tight. I feel like the Bills love is running away a little bit, right? Let me go back and confirm. Zinger, can you do me a favor? Can you go Bills 12 or 13 wins this year? I feel like I want to say 13, but I'm stuck thinking that's wrong. And Kansas City finished 14-2. They did not put anybody in that final game. So they could well have been a 15-win team. And to me, Zinger, which one?
13.
13 wins. So in my mind, in real terms, Kansas City 2 wins better than Buffalo. And they don't, to me, face the threat of their quarterback imploding. There were some early season plays from Josh Allen where he's trying to stiff arm off a defensive end who wants to end his life, and he's being kind of tugged to the ground, and he's still trying to throw the ball downfield or fumble here and fumble there, and just ridiculous extra efforts to try to keep plays alive when the prudent move is just to eat it. And at some point, to me, like with Breeze last week, at some point that is going to, the danger is that that's going to bite Buffalo in the buttocks. And if it happens against KC and all of a sudden you're in a 14-point hole, well, good luck, because Kansas City's going to trash you.
Yeah, without trying to get into predictions right now, to just say it blatantly, Patrick Mahomes has been here before. He literally did this last season. He's able to come in again and try to bring his team back to the Super Bowl. And so my thinking is, yeah, Josh Allen has had a spectacular year.
Agreed.
He's helped. He's been a huge part of why this team is making it all this far, the AFC Championship game. But Patrick Mahomes, a bunch of other players on this team have been here before. You got Andy Reid, who's done a fantastic job on the coaching side of things.
4th-and-1 last week.
And so, yeah, I think you got to remember that. Patrick Mahomes, even though he's a young quarterback still, he has been here before.
Yeah, and he's been down 14 here before. They were in trouble in the playoffs last year, and here comes Mahomes. They were in trouble in the Super Bowl last year. Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes. And oh, by the way, I mean, currently the best tight end in the game and probably the best receiver in the game, right? They're just going at the same time, and you think, okay, well, how are we going to stop that as well? And then, oh, by the way, you mentioned Andy Reid. Just as innovative and timely as they get. You know, when to call timeouts, a whole other thing with Andy Reid. That's fine. But play calling and taking advantage of you? Come on. That's the perfect mix. So do you buy at all into the philosophy of, you got to lose before you can win? Do you buy that as it would apply in this case to the Buffalo Bills?
It might have to be the case this time around because, yeah, Josh Allen's going into this for the first time. He's a very young quarterback, and maybe this isn't the first time we're going to see these two dueling it out in the championship game.
Can you imagine?
Think about it that way, though. We could have more Bills and Chiefs matchups for the next 5 years or so. But I think if Josh ends up losing this one, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, but You're a young guy. You got a lot of years to get back. You could get back here next year with this squad.
Yeah. Do you pay Allen in the offseason? This is year three. They would have control of him for at least two, if not four more years. But this is the point where Mahomes got his deal. This is the point where Carson Wentz got his deal as well. Do you pay Allen in the offseason? Moises Canales, go.
I think so. I think you're the Buffalo Bills. You haven't seen this much success in years, decades. I think as a franchise, you got to look at this and be like, okay, Patrick Mahomes at this time in his career got it. Josh Allen, I mean, he's an MVP candidate. We got to look at this being a serious consideration. We got to lock this guy in and make it a long-term commitment with this guy.
Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson on one hand, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff on the other. there's risk when you pay guys after year three. I feel like you hit on the head, and that Buffalo will absolutely do it because it seems like a good dude, and he seems to love Buffalo, and he's fun, and he's having fun. Mm-hmm, and he and Diggs are best buddies, and everything seems to work there. Their offensive coordinator didn't get a head coach job. Their head coach must be tremendous at setting the tenor for that team. I feel like it's going to happen. I would not commit 150, 200 to him quite yet.
Yeah,
but I'm a little bit of a nervous Nelly. All right, before we hit it, Zinger, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Green Bay -3.5. Where are you on? Where do you go on the betting line?
Well, I'll take that any day of the week. I'm with you, DT.
Green Bay -3.5.
Yeah.
Moises Canales, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Green Bay -3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to make this a trifecta here. I got to go with GB.
We're GB across the board. Kansas City, Buffalo, Kansas City -3.5. Zinger, who would you wager on?
I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win the football game.
Wow, outright win for the Buffalo Bills. Moises.
Yeah, this whole time we were talking about how Buffalo might not do it. I'm going to go with KC. But, yeah, like I've been talking about, like Zinger goes with Buffalo. I'm going with KC. There's a lot of 50-50 splits with this one.
Yeah. In our – we have one going for Harvard Broadcasting on CBS. 52% of the people have taken Buffalo to win in Kansas City.
Yeah.
To me, Mahomes is back. Mahomes healthy. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers in a potentially incredibly exciting Super Bowl will be the matchup, but we will find out on Sunday. It is 5:58 news coming up next, and plenty more from the Sports Cage, including absolute brutal officiating in professional sports. Will it ever stop? We'll discuss. .605 on a Friday, the Sports Cage brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Derek Taylor, Moises Canales, Sean Kleisinger with you. Ryderville.com, the place to get your tickets for the final Chase the Ace draw. 6 days, 21 hours, 53 minutes, and 52 seconds away. That's it. And they've already sold $15,000 worth of tickets in the first hour. That's pretty good.
Oh, baby.
That's pretty good. They will give away the grand prize, and we'll do it live here next week at this time. Currently $535,000.
Woo!
How many shares of the Packers would you own with that, Zinger? Woo!
Oh,
dang,
man.
Bro.
I can't imagine. If whoever wins it better be buying me a hot dog or two at Curry Field the next time. The Red Sox play. Come on.
Someone, are you prepared? Because like you make the phone calls, right? Like Zinger's the one who makes the phone calls to get the winners on the air.
It's true.
Someone might just scream in your ear, oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
Like be prepared for that. Yeah. Don't be wearing a headset to dial that up because
you could very well change someone's life coming up next week, a week from today.
I changed Travis's life today. He called back after we couldn't get a hold of him and I broke him the news that he won over $27,000 and I think he got a little emotional. Like I felt like giving him a hug and being like, you know, go up to him, give him a hug and then whisper in his ear, can you give me like couple thousand of that, you know.
Okay,
that's what's going through my
let's
head.
Let's put this out there right now. We each of us wins $27,000. Would you be exciting with it, or would you be boring with it? Who would be the most exciting and who would be the most boring? Just think about it in your minds. Who would be the most exciting and who would be the most boring? Zinger, who would be the most exciting if they won 27 grand of the three of us?
Well, this sounds pretty exciting to me, but if Zinger won the money, he would be for sure going to Tampa Bay to watch Super Bowl 55. Like, I'd go on StubHub, I'd buy one of those 22,000 tickets that are being sold for the game. So you better believe it, Zinger's going to be there.
Get a little COVID.
Get a little...
get a little of the clap.
No,
watch the Packers win.
I'll be very careful. I'll be very careful.
So you're voting for yourself. Moises, who would be the most exciting?
Most exciting? Yeah, Zinger's got me convinced. You got me convinced on a lot of things. Yeah. Green Bay winning, you being the most exciting. I can see him just adding to that bobblehead collection he has.
I think Zinger would be the most exciting as well, so that's a clean sweep. Who would be the most boring if they won 27 grand? Zinger, you vote first.
Derek would probably just like invest it or like put it in his savings. He probably wouldn't even like touch it, so I'm going to go with DT maybe.
Okay. Moises?
I'm going to vote for myself like what Zinger did. I think I would just put it away in savings, or my girlfriend would be like, hey, let's do renos with it. I'd be like, okay, I guess we can do that.
Yeah, I would be super boring. I would.
Yes.
The first night would be like loaded with Western pizza in celebration, but it would be pretty boring after that. It's like, oh, well, we could pay this down. We could do a bathroom. I could drop that in my tax-free savings account. A little refund, maybe if I put it in my RSP. I would be super boring with 27 grand. $535,000, though.
Wow.
I may go to Western Pizza two times before I start funding my retirement accounts. That's just the way that's going to go.
Wow.
All right.
It's Bo Levi Mitchell money.
Man.
Not quite, but.
CFL quarterback money. That'd be all right. I'd be okay with that. All right. Referees are brutal. Yes. Is there a sport in which referees and officials are not brutal?
Yeah. Nah.
You're a football fan, hockey fan, soccer fan, brutal in all of them.
Yeah.
Soccer ones especially, super shady.
You have those moments as a fan when you're watching and you're never not a fan screaming at the TV because the ref made a call that you think is incorrect.
Yeah.
It always happens.
Why are we going to review for this? It's obvious. Just call it the way it is. Well, this from the NBA last night, this is brutal. It was the Green Bay-New York game. Draymond Green got his second technical. He got ejected from the game. He immediately, his teammate James Wiseman, the rookie, tried a really lame post up. It didn't go well. Green threw him the ball, turnover, came back the other way. Green was very clearly yelling at Wiseman. Some people thought he said, F that. Some people think he said, front that, as in get in front of your guy. Front that.
Who says that?
Well, basketball players, right? So it makes perfect sense. The officials teed him up and threw him out of the game, and he absolutely couldn't believe it. He's like, I was talking to him. Coach Steve Kerr said he was talking to him. NBA does some good stuff in that they allow a pool reporter to interview the referees. Which that's a really nice move because most times we don't get an explanation for horrific calls that change the games entirely. NBA allows one pool reporter to talk to the officials. The reporters ask them about it, and the referee says, well, Draymond Green received his second technical for profanity that was deemed to be directed at the official. The reporter then asks, well, Coach Steve Kerr and the rest of the Warriors players said that Draymond was addressing his teammate James Wiseman. Was that the explanation you got? The referee says, yes, it was. The reporter then says, well, did you reconsider? He says, no, we did not.
I guess you just got to make the call and stick with it as a referee.
The NBA today comes out and says, yes, we're going to rescind that second technical foul because we don't believe it should have been. Why? Maybe the thing that gets me the most about officials, there are several things, but one is just the obstinate belief that I called it so it stands. Like, you know what? You know what happens? I umpired, 16-year-old baseball when they're whipping 80 miles an hour and stuff. And sometimes it takes you an extra half a second to process exactly what you said. And when you go out and you went, oh, actually, that's a foot sliding into the glove at second base. Oops.
Yeah.
It's okay to change it. I'm sticking to it. That's what it was. He was obviously talking to his teammates, but I still threw him out and I back it up now. Why are we doubling down? That just makes it worse.
There's two sides that now that you're talking about it that way, I think that you can almost address it as. First of all, the first side I want to talk about is that there are some refs that are just plain stubborn. No matter what you tell them, and in this case, no matter what Steve Kerr and the Warriors were telling him, he wasn't changing his mind in that moment. There was nothing that was going to change. I think there are genuinely some officials that are just – They're not going to change. They're going to be stubborn about it. That's it. But there are some other ones on the other side of it that are, they have to be confident. They have to think, okay, this is the call that I'm making. I'm going to stick with it. I have to be confident about what I'm doing here, because if you're not confident about what you're seeing or what you're judging, I mean, how can you be a successful referee, I feel?
Oh, that's a very good point. I remember in like umpire school, they said, be loud. Be loud, be confident in your decision, or else athletes are going to push on you, right?
If they get a
whiff of beta off of you, they're going to alpha you to death, right? So you have to be confident, but there's confident and there's confident enough to go, you know what? I blew it. In baseball, there was the umpire who ruined Galarraga's perfect game.
Was it Joyce?
Jim Joyce. Yep. Galarraga, perfect game, threw 26 batters, gets a dribbler back to the mound, throws it to first, has him by a step and a half, umpire calls him safe. Immediately after that game, and unfortunately in baseball, zero he could do about that. But immediately after the game, he's like, I stole a perfect game from this kid. And then later they go on to write a book together, which is super cool. But I stole a perfect game from this kid. I can't believe it. That's going to live with me the rest of my life. That's how it should be, right? If you have human beings officiating a game, this official should feel terrible about throwing out Draymond Green. Okay, meaningless game early in the season. But like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know if you're so used to hearing the F word from Draymond, you think everything is the F word. Like if someone says D in the newsroom or anything that starts with D, I start to turn my head because I think they're going to say DT. I'm just so sensitive to it. But come on, stop being terrible. And I'm just afraid at some point the Green Bay Packers will be driving late. They're going to throw the ball into the end zone with 2 seconds left and Devontae Adams is going to get called for some BS push-off. and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Don't freak out Zinger like that before game time.
I'm afraid there's going to be – when you watch an NFL game, Moises, how afraid are you of the officials are going to ruin this?
Well, I have not really had that moment, I feel.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that because I don't take NFL officiating for granted anymore after the strike that happened a few years ago.
They got that call right, though.
Don't even talk Phil Mary on these airwaves.
That's true. Was that Packers Seahawks?
Was that Packers Seahawks on a Monday night in 2012.
Yeah.
I remember it like yesterday.
Two different calls right there. That's when the NFL was like, we got to change this. We got to bring these guys back.
Well,
brutal.
And it's funny watching these games now because they're – and you see it in the CFL too – they will intentionally not make a call and let the play go and go, well, replay will solve this, when that changes everything, right? Because replay isn't always conclusive. Well, okay, we call it a touchdown at the time, though we're in the stands going, that's incomplete. That's not a fumble. Well, we call it a touchdown at the time. Oh, all the cameras happen to be blocked by butts, and now it's a touchdown, when it very obviously shouldn't have been. Instant replay needs to go to hell. My theory is instant replay needs to go to hell, but then I'm going to be subjected to more of this tossing out a guy for telling his teammate to play basketball better. So I'm in a real conundrum, Moises.
Draymond's probably thinking, well, great, you rescind it now, but this was after the game was done when I got kicked out. So,
yeah,
I mean, poor guy. Draymond Green, if you want to call him a poor guy, I guess. Not really. Not a lot of people like Draymond, I feel, unless you're a Warriors fan.
Do you not like Draymond Green?
For me, it doesn't matter. He's kind of like in the middle there for me. But I know there's a lot of people that just didn't like that attitude he had in the finals.
Those
famous quotes he had too. So I can see why people think he's an unlikable guy.
You're a newsman. You'd love his quotes, right? Instead of athletes going, yeah, we played super hard and we really got it done. Like, he's dropping knowledge. He's dropping curse words. He is unleashing the beast. And then, there aren't many smarter basketball players than that cat. And, man, if they get Klay Thompson back next year, oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be so good.
Oh, are we going to have to watch that all over again when the Warriors are good and making the finals.
Do you not like the Warriors either? Are we fighting through this pane of glass here?
I just can't. It got tiring after a while. For me, watching them was fun at the start, and seeing all those records being broken by Klay and Steph, that was a good time. But then it kind of got old after a while, and it was nice to see them. Unfortunate all these injuries happen, especially to Klay. You don't want to see a guy of talent that is never seen, a unique talent like Klay Thompson's, be out for so long. But boy, I feel like it was a nice change to see some other teams kind of start making it deep in the playoffs, and I'm sure they'll be back. Like you said, once Klay's back, once they're all healthy, I'm sure they're going to probably make a run with the Lakers there for a chance at the finals.
You know what I say to those other teams? Just draft better, get a once-in-a-lifetime cap fluctuation to allow you to sign another absolute superstar, and build your own team that way. Yeah, they went to the finals 6 straight years, won 3 of those titles, lost 2 very entertaining series. 5 straight years. Lost that series with the Cavaliers is an absolute all-timer.
Oh, that was an incredible series to watch as a basketball fan. Just even as a neutral basketball fan, that was the best series probably of that decade. One of them for sure.
That was 2016, right? If I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Spurs Heat, Thunder Heat, nothing. Mavericks Heat, no. LeBron won a couple titles in there with Miami, but Spurs Heat, where in game 6 they get the rebound and Ray Allen has to do the step behind the 3-point line, or LeBron and company were going home. Pretty, but that you're right, that 16 series, unbelievable. The Raptors in 19 took out Golden State. They were Golden State was a lot of fun. They could be again, but
how about the Bucks in 71? I mean, you can't have this conversation without dropping some Bucks in 71.
I was wondering when you're going to drop the Bucks. I was wondering. They look weird in blue, by the way. Hey,
were they wearing blue? And why are the Colorado Avalanche wearing blue pants all of a sudden, Moises? I know you're a Colorado fan, so I got to drop that quickly.
I suspect that harkens back to the Colorado, what was it, the Colorado Rockies were the hockey team in the 70s?
Yeah, and I think the Nordiques too. I think they're kind of giving a nod
Nordiques,
to the Nordiques.
Sorry, yeah, that makes
as
more
far
sense.
As I know, it's something that's just supposed to stay for this season, and then they're supposed to go back to the black helmets, black gloves, black pants. But
keep those third jerseys that we saw earlier, Zinger.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty tasty.
They had the Nordiques, the Nordic logo, but they were in maroon.
Oh yeah,
they looked so hot. Not Minnesota Wild hot, but they were pretty hot. those Minnesota Wild ones with the North Stars colors.
Oh yeah,
mwah.
Mwah.
Fantastic. That's what we do here on The Cage. We talk about jerseys. We talk about how we hate officials. And
a lot of tangents.
Yeah, it's tangent time on a Friday on The Sports Cage. It is 6:20. Hit us up on the Molson Coors text line at 306-936-6262. We haven't talked a ton about the Riders. There wasn't a lot of Riders news today. But we will do some discussion about what moves maybe we're hoping for before Monday's show. Coming up on The Cage. Moises Canales, name that tune.
It's the final countdown.
I thought it would transcend generations. Were you born after, when was it, 1984?
Yes, I was definitely born after. But it's a great way to finish off the show. Great choice.
1986, Europe, the final countdown. I remember singing this song as a kid. I love the final countdown.
Oh, yeah.
And then wasn't it prominent in like Job's routine in Arrested Development?
Yeah, like, I think so.
It will just never, some songs will never go away, and it's the only reason I know the band Europe, and I know I had their tape somewhere kicking around the house. News from the hockey world, Connor Bedard skating with a team in Junior A. He's going to play with the Kelowna Warriors for however much they're playing. He's been tested for COVID. He's passed that COVID test. He was expected to skate today, and he will hang out there until the WHL finalizes its plans for the 2021 season. As a brand new season ticket holder. And Zinger, I mentioned Wiener Wednesday to a guy today. He just laughed at me. He thought it was so funny.
How disrespectful.
Right? 2 hot dogs for the price of 1. Who does not love that?
God.
That's all I want.
We downed like 10 of them, by the way.
10 between us.
Was that the night that you guys posted on Facebook? You guys were at the game together?
Yeah, that was like 1 year, ago. I got the Facebook memory notification a few days ago. So
oh,
was
did
like,
you?
Yeah, that was like almost exactly one year ago. Yep.
That was a really
still
good
digesting
dog.
Them.
They got to work on the relish there.
Oh
like,
yeah,
the
that's
relish
right
wasn't
too.
Good, right?
Yeah. Made me mighty sick.
Those maybe don't go that far with how bad the relish was, but it was. That was some good stuff. The Jets placing Patrick Laine on injured reserve. He'll miss a third straight game with an upper body injury, so won't play Saturday versus Ottawa. He's out a minimum of 7 days, according to NHL rules. Best Canadian team in the Canadian division. Moises Canales, go.
I'm going to go with Toronto on this one. And I know a lot of people might be hating me for that pick. I know there's Oilers fans, Winnipeg fans that think they should be up there. But... yeah, Toronto's looking pretty good, and they'd probably be my pick to finish first in that division.
Would they be your pick to win the playoffs? Because you didn't have to go through and beat everybody.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. There's this division, and I don't know if a lot of people would agree with me. Maybe some would, but this division I think is the tightest out of the four. You're looking at it, and you're thinking, okay. I'm sure some people before the season started were thinking, yeah, Toronto, Edmonton, those are the teams that you're thinking are going to finish around the top.
Yeah.
Who goes in those last two slots to make the playoffs? I think it's tough. I didn't even make predictions on that one because I think it's so tight.
Yeah, the Lightning will run the Central Division. They're currently got, 2 points up through three games, but they're going to run that thing. Carolina may hang around. The East Division, boop, boop, boop. Bruins, Capitals, Penguins, Bruins, I guess, even though they're hanging out down there. Golden Knights and the Avs in the West, and the North is... We recapped what Sportsnet, their experts, had predicted, and man, there was Toronto, there was Montreal, there was Edmonton, there was Calgary with Markstrom. Like, there was a lot of love for a lot of teams. None of them were the Ottawa Senators, once again, without Tim Stützle. 6:25. No big signings for the Riders today. We found out they renegotiated the deal with Braden Lenius, one of their receivers. Jordan Williams-Lambert re-signed this week was the big news on the offensive side to go with Kyron Moore and Shaq Evans, and yet it still lingers that guys like Cam Judge and Ed Gainey and Solomon Elamimian are still hanging out there. TC and Medicine Hat on the text line says, I'm thinking Ed Gainey is going to be released in order to make cap room for Greg Ellingson. You Ooh. Heard it here first.
Wow.
Spicy take.
That is spicy. We've been, since Edmonton signed Darrell Walker, we were on the, does that mean Greg Ellingson is going to come free? And how would he fit with the Riders?
It's true. Which been is salivating for a few weeks now.
Yeah. Which, Zinger, we don't get into that too much. No. Right? But the possibility of a top five receiver who could fit in with an offensive coordinator with whom he's played before all of a sudden gets pretty exciting. I'm not sure they could fit him in as is. He makes a ton of money.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If
Shaq, Kyron Moore, Jordan Williams-Lambert, Greg Ellingson, who else? Bring him on. Bring Andy Van Tooze back. Who cares?
Here's the thing. I was trying to figure out, what Ellingson would make and what other dudes would make. Would you rather? We're going to go out on a dynamite. Would you rather?
Oh, yeah.
Moises Canales.
Okay.
Would you rather have Greg Ellingson or Cam Judge?
I knew this question was going to come at some point. I knew there was going to be a Cam Judge question.
Because Cam Judge should, based on his 19 season, should make a ton of money.
Yeah, I think because of that flexibility that actually you and Luke were talking about earlier on the show with the wide receivers, you got to look at signing Cam Judge. You've done a good job at securing Shaq, Kyron, Williams-Lambert. Now you got to kind of look at bringing in those big defensive players for the upcoming season, in my opinion. So I'm going with Cam.
So you want a little more balance than an absolute embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I think you can't good. Always yep. rely on that high-scoring game. Maybe some nights it's just not going to work out. You got to balance it out, I think.
Zinger, you could have Greg Ellingson, but it would cost you Cameron Judge.
I think it would be better for the team overall if you had Cam Judge, but the selfish side of me doesn't really care about that. I want Greg Ellingson on the team, man.
But you couldn't have Judge in that case.
That's
in
fine.
This hypothetical.
If Zinger was the GM, I'd bring in Greg Ellingson.
5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, just
by far would be the best receiving core in the league if it's not already, right?
Oh,
so
for
like,
sure.
And
it's not already, but no. Yeah, it absolutely would be at that point.
Yeah.
and it would keep there from being a possibility of Darrell Walker and Greg Ellingson being on the same team. And I'm happy to not have that in the CFL's West Division. It's such a brutal question that I'm glad I threw it to you guys to give me time to think about.
We kind of split the vote right now, or you can make the final decision on this one.
I love Greg Ellingson. I absolutely love.
Look at you two. Just no thought about defense. Just no. Going straight with that high impact offense.
No, I love Greg Ellingson, but I look at this and go, I can save a fair bit of money. Carlos Henderson can't make a bunch of money and has a real great reputation from his school days, and I can keep Cam Judge. And if you bring in Ellingson, you go back to four American receivers like last year. But now you either have to go with a different Canadian in Cam's position, or you go to American and try to figure out where to put another Canadian in. I would lean to Cam Judge. Lean to Cam Judge. And to Greg Ellingson, to me, top five receiver in the Canadian Football League. Oh, God,
Whatever,
guys. I
don't
know what to do.
I'll just take the lone wolf status into the weekend.
Singer's lone wolfing it into the weekend. He'll get a bucket of chicken. He'll kill it himself, whatever it might be. We are all on the Packers for that one, and we're split between Buffalo and Kansas City. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back to recap it on Monday. Luke Mullender will be here. Glenn Suter will be here. Zinger will be here. It is going to be a fantastic show. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Zinger at Night is next.